Welcome to Technory Live. We're back in studio at WGN talking with some of Chicago's top entrepreneurs, founders, and innovators. For those of you tuning in for the first time, well, you've probably heard this bit before. What is Technory? Since 2010, Technory has been Chicago's top startup showcase. More than 300 companies have been featured, been on stage, been on the show, and they've gone on to raise a whopping $260+ million in venture funding. Joining us in studio on Technory Live is my buddy Stu Grubbs, the co-founder of Infinicene, Techstars 2015 company, and the guy who's going to answer all of my questions on how to live stream. First off, welcome.
Thank you.
Second, thank you for coming back a week later. You came here last week when we were recording and spent the entire time with my team to sort of talk through how we could get better at live streaming, mm-hmm. Which is certainly your expertise. Did they receive it well?
Yeah. Absolutely.
I hope so.
Yeah, for sure.
So I guess the main thing is, what is Infinicene? And then we're going to really get into like the live streaming world, because I feel like a lot of people don't know how huge it is.
Yeah. So Infinicene is a live video production studio in a web browser. And effectively, it is easy for anyone to get started. The idea is, instead of understanding bit rates, codecs, stream keys, ingest servers that most of the other software requires you to understand to even get started, with us, you would log in with your YouTube, Facebook, Twitch account, drag and drop what you want to share, and press go live. And our average time for first-time streamers is about 3 minutes, which is a world apart from 3 to 4 weeks of watching YouTube videos to configure your bit rates.
I think we're at 3 or 4 weeks now, or we're at 3 or 4 months now trying to figure out how we're going to do
it's
this.
It's not easy. It's very different.
Well, and that's the part. So there's two different kind of worlds here, and I know that you play, well, there's really three, I guess. You probably play in all of them. The first, I think, is if you're looking to just stream your gaming experience on Twitch and you're playing the game, and like, this is the most amazing tool ever.
Right.
You write through the browser. I can sit there. What I particularly like is you can add graphics. Mm-hmm. And so if you're like, I'm just thinking for myself, if I could go back in like 2010, well, who are we kidding? 2000. let's start again. 1989 through like 2016.
Sure.
While I'm playing any variation of Call of Duty or any other first person shooter game, and then Mario and everything else before it, I would have like all of my like awesome graphics where I beat the hell out of somebody,
right,
and I could throw them up on the screen and be like, that's who did that. That is the coolest part about this, but that's not that complicated ultimately. And you guys make it really not complicated.
No, I mean, so, you know, what you're talking about too is recorded like highlights basically.
Yeah.
And we've been able to do that since I was in college with like an old app called Fraps that would capture gameplay and there was some neat stuff, but live video becomes so much more difficult in the sense that, because you're streaming, any little glitch or blip in your internet connection or incorrectly configured thing means that either a viewer's not going to be able to watch or you're not going to be able to transmit. It's extremely different, as you know, from doing live shows versus recording.
And so that's kind of where I was going with this. Like, it's one thing to have a capture card and just take your video and put it out there.
Right.
But for those of us who, whether it's me just still on my own at home wanting a game or having a show like Technory Live that we are going to be bringing to live stream in March, mm-hmm. It is very important that we do this in a way that is not just functional, but it has to also be like professional quality.
Yeah.
And that's, I think, ultimately what the problem is. Like, and obviously Facebook and things have a certain level of, whether it's, you know, 780, 720?
720.
720. See, I know, I obviously take care of all of this for us, as you can see. But no, you get what I'm saying. Like, there's a lot of moving parts that I think the average person looks at when they go to the first YouTube video, like,
Well, that's right. That's like the idea, right? Is to get out of the way of ultimately what everyone who wants to live stream is somebody who has something to say. It's a storyteller. It's a content creator of some sort. It's like, I have something that everyone in the world needs to see, which may or may not be true. But
it's almost always not true.
Right. But in the advent of Facebook Live, everyone has something to say and wants to say it. And our research and also a lot of independent research shows that it's far more about the content than it is about quality or anything else. So if you can get somebody from their no experience first day into just starting to talk and tell their story, it's far more important that they're engaging and they work on that aspect of their show.
Yeah.
And so our tool just basically streamlines your funnel to being live. And you can eventually enhance the show with graphics. You can eventually enhance the show with alerts that say, hey, you know, my first viewer just subscribed to my channel. Like, those things are important eventually. But in the first few, you know, I guess, you know, birthing moments of your show, of your content.
Until you run out of money.
It's far more, or until you run out of money for your podcast. But it's more important for you to be engaging And the sooner I can get you to telling your story or to sharing your content is far more important than the tech.
Yeah, I mean, I want to launch Technori Drinks, and it's going to be a live stream show where I just get trashed.
Can I be guest one?
You're going to be guest one through 100.
Perfect.
We just sit there
co-host,
and
just mostly drunk, but
pound booze. But no, it'll be funny, but it's going to be amazing. I don't think this is actually a show, but I think it just became one.
Yeah, no, definitely. You remember my first company was Distilled, which was for whiskey drinkers.
Oh my goodness.
We'll introduce a new bottle every week and
we'll talk startups. This show might just actually become a real thing.
This is an important thing we need to bring to life.
Well, we're doing Technori Plays, which we're launching.
And 100% live, so we can't edit out anything.
That's the key. So
producers right now are like, what is he thinking?
No, but this is a really good conversation because we talk to a ton of companies.
Right.
And media is a huge piece of it. And I've thought since I first met you when you were at 1871, when I first saw this, I was like, what a brilliant way to, for lack of a better term, dumb down something that's ultimately kind of complicated.
Yeah.
For every business, every person, every brand, you've got to be able to tell your story. And video is the best way for me to. We like podcast audio because we've already created. You know us from the stage.
Mm-hmm.
We don't need to have the face there.
Mm-hmm.
Audio is great for on the go, but video is where you meet somebody and you connect with them.
I think you're 100% right. And the thing that we've been saying to people who do pre-recorded content is live first is so much better.
Oh my God.
So if we did this show live and the audience asked questions and then the interview dynamically shifts with audience participation, the recorded content is going to be that much better because it was shaped by the live studio audience, if you will.
Yeah.
And so we've been telling people all the time to do pre-recorded content, do it live first and then edit it for your SoundClouds, your YouTubes and whatever else you want to, wherever you want to share your recorded content.
And like, this is going to sound snooty, but I just admitted to being an alcoholic basically a second ago. So what the hell's the difference? What I think is particularly going to be really cool for your platform and for live content creation across the gamut of brands is that finally there is a lot, like there was a zero barrier to how much content one could create. You could produce content all day long. I mean, anyone could create content. And one of the problems is that if you go to, whether it's iTunes or Google Play or YouTube, whatever, SoundCloud, the problem with them is that there's so much shitty content.
Yeah.
There's lots of just not good stuff. And so by now having live stream, those who take the craft seriously and actually work on it, as you mentioned before, work on honing their craft and becoming, who cares about the quality of the video, really good at their job.
Right.
Can rise above the cream because who doesn't want to watch something live streaming on demand where I can interact with you real? And the only people who are going to have real success at that part of it are the ones who take it seriously.
So if you have 8,000 years of recorded crappy content on YouTube, the problem that nobody's going to watch that is that they usually don't find their market, right? There is somebody who's going to find that entertaining. But even once you do, you want to watch 10 minutes of a video of a guy drooling on. However, you probably would watch that same person of a guy drooling on if you could then say in chat, what the hell are you talking about?
Yeah. Well,
And then that conversation starts, right? And then the dynamic, you know.
So you're saying that we actually can find a way to make crappy content creators live
help them
still
find
useful.
Yeah.
We can still help them find a market.
There's 1.8 million people or 1.8 billion people on Facebook. Facebook Live is going to give a lot of people a podium for better or worse, for at least
mostly for worse,
but for at least
but
some
better
people.
For us because we can go on and comment and say all kinds
but
of
a lot for the
shit.
Better too. I mean, we've seen fitness coaches reach a larger audience and help people like really who really struggle with weight. We've watched and these are people using our product. We've watched a guy who streams solely for the purpose, not growing an audience. He streams so that his brother who's deployed overseas can just watch him play games. It's how they hang out.
Yeah.
And so it's like his brother can, it's like his brother sitting on the couch with him, but he's just watching from like Afghanistan.
Yeah.
And so not everyone's trying to build an audience or has something to say, but also it's useful for an experience, right? And so and I think one of the things, and you know this better than anyone having interviewed every company in the city, is that the word authenticity gets thrown around all the time.
Yeah.
I don't think there's a more authentic moment than asking somebody a question on live TV or on live streaming and then watching them really struggle with how they're going to answer that or answer it immediately. And you know it was honest because there was almost no time for them to make it up or they're a really good liar. But
it's great in the political cycle.
You know,
anyway.
We do these AMAs. We did one when Facebook Live first launched and everyone got to know us as a team, for better or for worse. You know, we curse a little bit. We had a few too many beers on different live, you know, shows that we've done. But there's a humanizing effect to our brand because of that.
I think it's a massive differentiator. And I guess ultimately, if we were to step back for a second and talk about Infinicene as a company, when I first was introduced to it and introduced to you, all that came to mind was video games. Like, that's just all that came to mind at that time. And I guess to speak, I want you to speak to the Infinity.
We do love them. Yeah.
Well, yeah. I mean, it's the market is massive. Like, right. I think the common person, they're like, oh, when are you going to go to the mass market? And thinking like, idiot, I'm already there.
Mobile games alone generated $40 billion in revenue last year.
There you
go.
That's
just mobile games. That's people sitting on their toilets playing games.
Like you can download this Strike at the App Store.
Yeah, no, exactly. Arnold Schwarzenegger, who said he hated video games, is now advertising.
He's old now.
Yeah.
Well, I love Arnie, but he's
occasionally
old.
Occasionally he needs some money.
I don't think he needs any money, but I think he still enjoys to say, destroy you. But no, so it was a video game thing, and at least in my mind it was. And so like to watch just, I mean, like I said, you can talk more about how you have scaled Infinisene as a company, mm-hmm. but to watch the market, I mean, I didn't meet you that long ago.
No.
To watch the market mature in like 2 years is insane. It went from a part of like only young kids gaming and like crappy stream and like really or really sophisticated.
We talk about luck as entrepreneurs all the time and great timing. I think we started this. We were passionate about video games and content creation. We thought that was really compelling. Obviously, we started a whole business around it.
Yeah.
But then the market completely exploded while we were in Techstars and afterwards into a much larger base. And now we have a long vision on online education. We look at the ability. If you are a small business owner right now and you're not using Facebook Live, you're making a huge mistake. Paying for ads on Facebook is just silly. If you go live right now, everybody who likes your page and everybody who
gets
is
a notification
gets a notification. It is free advertising.
I wonder
we
how
watched
long
a nightclub in Ohio put up a video of like the weekend's happenings and just on rotation just live streamed it to their page all day. And just free advertising. I mean, there is just so many ways you can use this in a compelling way to showcase your expertise, which is probably why you started a small business in the first place.
Yeah, it's baffling. So how it's from a business side of things, how have you been able to capture and scale? Because the one thing like we talked about is that this market has kind of exploded.
Mm-hmm.
It went from kids who I think from your angle, not kids, but well, sometimes kids, right. But from your angle is really actually easy to speak to because you guys are on the same level when it comes to like technologically, like they know what they're looking for. You know what you're selling, you know what you're building, you know how to solve problems for them. It's very easy. When you start talking to older generation of people who are trying to take advantage of this from a marketing standpoint,
right.
They are much more difficult to speak with. They're much more challenging to get them to understand the tools and to like communicate. How have you been able to balance that incredible frustration with that incredible bliss?
I think in the larger brands, you're right. I think as far as, I mean, we have more small business owners than ever, I think.
Yeah.
And everyone wants to utilize technology in a new and interesting way. Years ago, it was like, how can I be better at SEO?
Yeah.
And, you know, and then it was blogging was, if you're not doing blogging as a small business, you're making a mistake. I think we've talked to people. And,
I've never done either, by the way.
We've seen these guys, they prop their phone up on the table. And so it's really easy. I send a message and I said, look, you had a compelling show. You had 50 viewers in your first live stream ever as a business. How cool. 50 customers, potential customers watching you. But now you should have probably told them who you were. And because the Facebook app doesn't let you do any of that,
yeah.
I said, dude, log in with ours, use the browser, drag on your logo into the lower left-hand corner and a phone number or email to contact you. And that's the next phase. I mean, right now.
You guys are going to crush Tinder.
Why do you say that?
Just go on Facebook Live, like I'm kind of lonely tonight. This is my brand. Here's phone number. Here's my Twitter handle.
You know, a friend of mine, I won't mention his last. Michael works at a university here. He's actually doing a study on the psychology and philosophy of live streaming in terms of content creators, and really where their heads at or why they're doing it. Some people are chasing fame, but there's a good contingent of people that are trying to build a small group of online friends. It's a lot easier for your personality to come out when you're not in person for some of these guys.
Oh, it totally is. You know, this is like way into the weeds here, but we had kind of similar, speaking of video game originally, Jellyvision. Amanda mm-hmm. Lannert was here, and we were talking about the bots that they're working on. And ultimately, she said the one thing we found out that is not shocking, but it was shocking to see it like actually happen, was that people have no problem telling a bot who is connected to 1,000 people
yeah.
who are going to store data for the rest of your life and everyone else, the facts and the truth. But if you ask me, one individual person who knows you and will keep this confidentially, I will tell you nothing. So like they have a heart. People will not speak. They have a very hard time speaking in front of a human being
mm-hmm.
and telling them truth. But in front of a bot that's going to be like deployed to thousands, they don't have any problem at all.
So to support that, we have... I mean, any number of automated emails that we send out just trying to engage with our users. But there's one that, you know, after 30 days of you not coming back, we send an email that says, hey, my, you know, it's a personal email from me. Says, hey, you know, you haven't been around. I need to know if it's me or if it's you. And it's, we actually, you know, we made it really
that email,
natural language. It's like, hey, was it me? I'm sorry. You know, but kind of a baby come back email.
Yeah.
But we oftentimes that email gets rampant abuse. People just unload, you know, like, well, this is what happened in my life and everything fell apart and I haven't been live streaming because of this. And, you know, he goes, you don't really care about this, though. This is a shitty automated email. And then I reply to every one of them, every single one. And so I'll send an email back and I go, so it sounds like it's you. No, but I say, I'm really sorry to hear all that. I actually do read all of these. We are a small company in Chicago trying to improve this product. And so if you could tell me about the ways that we infuriated you, those are problems I can solve. And if you need to talk about the other stuff.
I know people.
We have a Discord. Well, we Discord is like a, think Slack for gamers.
Yeah.
I say, come hang out in there and talk to the community about it. And yeah. They do. And it's really odd. But most people, I remember one, it was like, F you, F this email, F automated emails. He goes, no one reads this. Just like, oh, no. Yeah. On and on and on and on it goes. And I go, well, actually, I do read these. And he goes, oh, shit, I didn't think anybody read these. We actually ended up having a really good conversation.
But and you have working
people's ability to just unload on what they don't think. You know, they're afraid to share with other people sometimes, you know, one-on-one, like you said.
But, yeah, it's crazy. Very cool. So what is the next sort of, I mean, if you could even predict it, things are moving so quickly. What do you think is the next thing for the use of not just Infinicene, but just in general?
Well, you know, I think we talk about, the different types of live streaming are starting to emerge. Back when Justin TV was around, it was here's watching Justin with a backpack and a laptop, and he's here he goes about his life. And then that turned out to be relatively boring, as most people's lives on the in-between of their high moments is pretty mundane errand running, right? So then they focus on games. And so live streaming mostly has been about video games, but now we're starting to see different types of streamers. So I'll never be a famous streamer. I'm not going to be, you know.
I don't know. Some of your streams are pretty good. Your test streams, I thought, were fairly entertaining.
Thanks. It's
the
mostly
brick wall
me
behind
to,
you looked very
yeah,
nice.
It's like the Michael Jordan face where I've got my tongue hanging out of my mouth and I'm trying to play a video game. Yeah, that's, I mean, to some people that might be interesting. But
well, you split screen so I can see the game a little bit.
So Instagram actually came out with a new type of live streaming that we're probably not going to participate in because effectively you can go live from your Instagram app. And the moment you stop going live, it disappears. So it's basically like, Scott, I wanted you to see this, share this moment. I'm down at Millennium Park and there's something really cool happening. And then as soon as it's done, it's gone. So that's one type of streamer. It's just I wanted some friends to join me live just for this moment, right? It's like a video call, but a little more public.
Yeah.
Then you have Facebook.
Sure, Snapchat loved it.
We have Facebook, which, well, they don't have live streaming yet, but I'm sure it's coming after their IPO.
Yeah.
And then you have Facebook streamers, which we don't call. There are some destination streamers, but we call them people who are never going to be famous but had something to share with their friends. It's where I go live mostly, where you've seen me actually.
Yep.
And so what's cool about that is that 30 of my friends can immediately tune in and join me. And I'm not looking for fame. I'm not looking to grow an audience. I'm just trying to share No Man's Sky, which is a pretty cool exploration game with a few friends. And then there's destination streamers, which are Twitch TV and YouTube and these places. This is like having a Twitter account. It's like, come watch me, be a part of my audience, be a part of my community, you know, donate so that I can make this my full-time job. So you have all these different types of people that have something different to share. And so we'll see a lot of it emerge. I think for us, we're still very focused on gamers. Honestly, the content's really engaging. We look at esports, which is where
esports
I started my
massive.
Career 12 years ago. You know, it's been funny to watch that whole industry grow over the last 12 years, and just now it's the hot buzzword. And when I started 12 years ago, it was 50 kids in a basement competing for $100. You know, so it's just very much changed. And but we see that, you know, broadcasting is going to be huge, and you see the big channels trying to get in, ESPN, TBS.
Oh, yeah.
TBS did that, you know, E-League, but that's not where we consume content.
Yep.
It's online. And so Twitch is going to play a huge role in that. YouTube, Beam, who just got bought by Microsoft, you know, I love those guys. They've got a compelling way where you can actually interact with the stream. You can interact with the gamer playing the game. So you press a button while you're watching and something happens in game, which is pretty neat. But yeah, I think video games and esports are going to consume the majority of it for at least a little while longer. But
I think you're right. Oh, obviously, I know you're right.
Yeah.
But I think that what's really going to be interesting or fascinating for me and those who are in the media grim, and if I step out of this show for a second and look at it from like the person running Technori, a media company, is that the generation of people that you're working with right now, who are the gamers, and obviously some gamers are our age, but lots of younger kids, they are basically patterning the majority of their consumption of media online in this sort of fashion.
Right.
And so every single traditional model of media currently in existence, if they don't start making shifts towards this, they're not going to, these consumers are not going to watch your TV show. They're not going to go and go flipping through cable box. They're just not going
to
do it.
What Twitch proves is that a content creator, if good enough, people are willing to pay $5 a month to watch, to support.
Yeah.
It's, you know, it's subscribing on that channel is to get rid of ads. And you're talking about people used to complain that $15 a month for HBO Now was ridiculous.
Yeah.
And think about the millions of dollars they spend on content. And here's a guy who's streaming video games and is just hilarious. And like, you know, the guy next door that you'd usually go sit on the couch and watch and play games. You're willing to pay $5. And I know people that have subs in the number $50 to $75 a month that they're spending on supporting different content creators. And I think, so going beyond gaming and esports, the next, you know, Scott Catoon, you're going to find him Facebook Live. He's going to run a small show and it's going to create, you know, and then it's going to be more interviews as he's through college and then, you know, on and on. And then.
And you'll be the one behind with Infiniscene as the platform that we're using.
Right.
Very cool. Stu, thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you.